This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli, allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi, amin ya rabbil alamin. Inshallah, today we will study the names of Allah Al-Nasir and Al-Fattah. The name of Allah Al-Nasir occurs four times in the Quran, where, for example, in Surah Al-Furqan, ayah number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. And your Lord is definitely sufficient as a guide and a helper. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you, then that guidance is enough for you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, when He is in your aid, then that help will be sufficient for you. Now, we see that the name Nasir comes from the verb Nasara, right? Nasir is the one who helps. So what does the word Nasara or Nasr mean? When we look at the word Nasara, Nasara gives the meaning of aiding or assisting someone. So it is to help someone, to strengthen them. And this by definition means that the one whom you are helping is in need of help. They're in need of help because they are weak or because the challenge that they're facing is too big for them to face alone. So Nasr is to help, to assist, to strengthen someone who is in need. And Nasr is not just used for a little bit of help, a little bit of aid. Nasr is to give a great amount of help, to help someone a great deal. So for example, the verb Nasara is used for ghais, for rain. Nasara al-ghaythu al-arda. That the rain, Nasara, it helped, it aided the ground. What does that mean? Meaning the rain, it fell copiously, abundantly on the ground, allowing it, enabling it to become soft, to absorb the water, and then as a result of that, to grow something. So the verb nasara, it doesn't just mean to, give a little bit of help. We're talking about a great amount of help, or help that is truly sufficient. So this is the first implication or connotation of the word Nasr. Secondly, Nasr is also to avenge someone, meaning when someone has been wronged, when someone has been, treated unjustly, treated unfairly, then Nasr is to help them against their enemy, meaning to take revenge on their behalf because they are too weak to defend themselves, to help themselves. So you come forward, you step forward and you defend them. You take revenge for them. And then thirdly, Nasr also means to give victory, to overcome or to make someone, conquer. So when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is an-Nasir, this means that He is the giver of Nasr, meaning He is the one who aids, who helps His slaves. He is the one who defends His slaves. He is the one who gives victory to His slaves. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-Nasir, this means that first and foremost, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids and helps His slaves against their enemy. Whether that enemy is shaitan or it is, other people or it is any kind of challenge, any kind of difficulty that they're facing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an-Nasir, helps His righteous slaves, His friends. So He stabilizes their feet when they're feeling weak. He strengthens their resolve when they're feeling weak-hearted. He helps them, he assists them by providing them resources. And he helps them by even sending his forces, the angels, help that the righteous servants are not able to see with their own eyes, but the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And we see the example of this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn about how in the Battle of Badr, the Muslims were only, you know, just a little over 300. And the enemy was three times their number. The Muslims lacked, resources. They were few in number. They were also considered weak. And they weren't, as physically strong because they didn't eat the same kind of foods that their enemy ate, right? Their bodies were malnourished. But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided them. He helped them. So he stabilized their feet and he helped them with forces that they did not even see with their own eyes, meaning the angels came to assist them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir. And when he aids his slaves, this means that he casts fear into the hearts of their opponents even. Meaning when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the aid of his slave, then part of that aid, part of that assistance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts fear into the enemy of his righteous slave. So then the enemy is not able to inflict any harm upon the righteous slave of Allah. And we see this, for example, in the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the enemies of Musa alayhi salam, right? That Fir'aun, even though he had the ability to inflict harm upon Musa alayhi salam, he was not able to. The enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had the ability to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they were never able to do that. So why? Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ, that we are going to cast terror, fear into the hearts of those who disbelieve. So they're not going to be able to harm you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, meaning he aids and helps his slaves, his righteous slaves against their enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 78, that wa'tasimu billahi huwa mawlakum, that hold on to Allah because he is your mawla, he is your patron, he is your protector. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ, what an excellent protector he is and what an excellent helper he is. Meaning when you have the help of Allah, then that help of Allah is sufficient for you. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, this also means that he defends his slaves. Meaning that when the opponents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's righteous slaves try to inflict harm upon them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends his righteous slaves. So in a hadith we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, that whoever declares enmity to a wali of mine, to a friend of mine, then I declare war against him. Meaning, if any person shows animosity towards a friend of Allah, then Allah will oppose that person. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend his righteous slave. And this is something that is so comforting. This is something that truly is a source of strength. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, this means that he does not abandon, he does not forsake his slaves. Right, we see that there are people who will say that they're your friends, but when you are in need, they're not able to help you. Either because they're too busy, they're not interested, they'd rather do something else, they don't want to take that risk, they don't want to put in that effort to assist you, they're too preoccupied with themselves, or they do not have the ability to help you, right? They have, some conflict of interest, or a lack of resources. And because of that, even though they may have the best intentions, even though they may have good wishes for you, they're unable to help you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above any weakness, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true in his promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to help his slaves. So he does not need to abandon them and he does not abandon or forsake them. And we learn in Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 40, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ni'ma al-Mawla wa ni'ma al-Nasir. That what an excellent protector he is, and what an excellent helper he is. Meaning, when he helps you, when he is your helper, it means that he is not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-Nasir, this also means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, his assistance, his aid is enough. It is perfect and complete, and it is absolute. Meaning that when a person receives the help of Allah, then they just need to rely upon Allah. They don't need to rely upon anything else, anyone else. This doesn't mean that a person does not do what they're supposed to. No, you have to do your part, because what you have been given, the resources that you have been given, the opportunities that you have been given, then they have been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are part of His nasr. So this means that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps a slave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for that slave. Then a person does not need to, have any doubt or have any, hesitation or have any fears. No, this is where tawakkul comes from. That why is it that we have been told to rely upon Allah? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is there, then that help is sufficient. And on the contrary, when we expect help from people, then we know that that help is not sufficient, which is why we try to do so many different things at the same time. And we don't feel settled in our heart. So we need to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe that the help that He gives is truly sufficient. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا. That Allah is sufficient as a wali, as a friend, and Allah is sufficient as a helper. Meaning His help will suffice you. And this means that even if everyone is against you, but you are doing what is right, then you should not have any fears. You should believe that the help of Allah will be enough for you. What happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We see that when the Muslims migrated to Medina, it was as if the entire Arabia turned against them. Everyone all of a sudden was an enemy to them. And we see people, different groups of people attempting to harm the Muslims, right? There were enemies from within, the hypocrites. There were enemies among the neighbors, the people of the book who resided in Medina. And there were those enemies, who lived far. So the people of Mecca and, other and various other tribes also who were enemies to the Muslims, who just basically were looking for excuses to inflict harm upon them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not compromise in the matter of Islam, right? Because it was because of Tawheed, it was because of Islam that all of these people had turned against the Muslims. If the Muslims were to go back to their old ways, then all of these people would have been fine. What is it that turned those people into enemies? It was because of Islam, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached La ilaha illallah. That is what they had a problem with. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not become weak in his resolve, in his faith. He did not compromise on the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help was truly sufficient for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is why ultimately it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who prevailed. It was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was given victory. So much so that people came in groups in order to embrace Islam, right? And those who did not wish to embrace Islam, they made treaties with the Muslims. So the fact is that وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 150, Allah says, بَلِ اللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ النَّاصِرِينَ. Rather, Allah is your protector and He is the best of those who help. His assistance is enough for you. His help is sufficient for you. When you have His help, then you do not need to have any fear. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, then what are we supposed to do? What is our part? The first thing is that we must believe that help, success, victory comes from Allah. It is with Him and it is from Him. It cannot be without Him. Meaning that if we want to be successful, if we want to accomplish anything, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, or we want to succeed in our endeavors, then we must remember that help comes from Allah. Success comes from Allah. So we must seek that success in the right way, which means that we must do things according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. We must not use unlawful means in order to accomplish our goals. We must not, disobey Allah in order to, get what we desire, what we like. Because even if we were to get what we like by disobeying Allah, then that would not be success, actually. That would be complete failure. That would be loss upon loss in this life and in the next life. But then we see so many people, doing wrong things, using unethical, immoral, prohibited means in order to accomplish, their desires, or in order to, succeed, in their endeavors. So how does that work? Then you see what happens over there is that whatever they receive, they receive because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decreed it for them. But they will still be responsible for what they have done. Which means that what they will enjoy right now in this world will be temporary. It's not going to be everlasting. And astaghfirullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But there are certain things which we have really legalized for ourselves. For example, dealing with unlawful money. When it comes to, consuming interest, or for example, buying a house on mortgage and things like that, these are things that we have normalized. And, these are things that we have basically made lawful for ourselves in complete opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have legislated. And this is something so frightening. In the Quran, we're told that if you do not leave interest, then فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِي. Then be aware, then you should know that there will be a war between you and Allah and His Messenger. Yani Allah, then you are at war with Allah and His Messenger. Yani Allah and His Messenger are not on your side. Allah is not on your side. Allah is against you. Yani, this is such foolishness that just because we see people, dealing with interest, we think that it's okay for us as well. What kind of a decision is this? And we're only thinking short term. We're only thinking about the next 20, 30 years. And that's it. What's going to happen when we're going to be put in our graves? Is that house going to come with us? Is that property still going to be in our name? Is it still going to be, decorated the way we want it to be decorated? Are we going to be able to live in that property? No. In fact, it's so unfortunate that people will buy property and mortgage, right? They will spend basically all of their earning life paying off the mortgage. And then what happens? They die. And that property is now sold. It's divided between the heirs. And a person is in their grave with that burden of sin. Wal-iyadu billah. Yani, we should realize that anything that we want, anything that we desire, anything that we're seeking, we can only have that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables that for us. So we want to get it the right way, not the wrong way. So help, success is with Allah. It is from Allah. It is not without Allah. And it is not by going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 126, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And help, victory, is not except from Allah, meaning it is only from Allah, who is Al-Aziz, the ever almighty, Al-Hakim, the ever wise. Yani, help and success, this is something that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why we're told that وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, that my tawfiq is only from Allah. Meaning if I'm able to do something, then this is only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled me. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, this means that we should seek help from Allah. Meaning when we are in some kind of difficulty, when we are struggling, when we find weakness in ourselves or weakness, you know, in our circumstances, in our resources, then don't stay weak. Don't suffer in that weakness. Ask an-Nasir to help you. Seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 160, we learn, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah were to help you, if Allah were to aid you, then there is no one at all who could prevail over you. Meaning, there's no one who can harm you, who can defeat you, who can prevail over you. And you see, sometimes it's not those big enemies, right? Sometimes it's those challenges that we're having in our personal lives, right? Where we are, for example, struggling to pay a certain bill. We are, for example, struggling to deal with a certain family member, right? We are struggling with, you know, our own children, for example, our own health, right? Our own work. You know, our own studies, you know, the projects that we have been given. So any kind of, you know, anything that we are struggling with, don't just, you know, remain struggling. Yes, of course, you have to strive, but don't get, you know, buried under that stress and under that, you know, heaviness of the task which is at your hand. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for aid. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, because He is an-Nasir. He helps with a great deal of help, and He gives victory. He gives success. So ask Him. You know, sometimes we are struggling with our own bad habits. We are struggling with, you know, teaching our children, training our children, you know, certain things. You could be struggling with, you know, a pet, right? Any kind of struggle that you're having, your own car, right? The weeds in your garden, the snow that you have to deal with, any kind of stress, any kind of difficulty, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an-Nasir for help. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-Nasir, He is the one who helps His slaves, then this means that we should be patient for the help of Allah. Our problem is that we think that, you know what, I am in difficulty, Ya Allah, help me. And then the next moment we should receive the help of Allah, and, you know, immediately all our problems should go away and everything should be made easy for us. But that's not how things work. The thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for every matter a decreed term, meaning there is a duration that is fixed for every matter. So for example, if a person wants to, you know, if a woman is expecting, if a woman is pregnant, she cannot just, you know, have her child within a month, right? It's going to take a full term of pregnancy, right? So for everything is a decreed term. Now, there are, you know, matters whose term we have an idea of, whose duration we do have an idea of. So, for example, you are enrolled in a certain course and you know that that course is going to take you 2 years. You're studying for a degree. It's going to take you 4 years, right? You know about the duration. A woman is pregnant. She knows it's supposed to be 9 months, right? You know about the duration. But then there are those matters whose duration we don't know, right? We don't know if you know, it's going to take, you know, 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, how long it's going to take to, you know, to teach your child a certain matter, right? You don't know how long it's going to take you, you know, to have a good grasp of the Arabic language, for example. You don't know how long it's going to take you to finally be able to drive, right? You don't know how long it's going to take for the coronavirus vaccine to be discovered, or you know, for this bala, for this tribulation to go away. But As Muslims, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps his slaves, right? So we have to be patient until relief comes, which means that we don't give up. We don't get frustrated. We should not get annoyed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah, that how come, you know, it's not over yet? How come I'm still struggling? Right? When is this all going to be over? This is getting too much. This is getting out of hand. No, we should refrain from thinking like this, and we should refrain from saying things like this. We must show patience until relief comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those trials which take a very short time, and then there are those trials which take a lifetime. Think about Yaqub alayhi salam. Right, he lost his son Yusuf alayhi salam when Yusuf alayhi salam was still very young. And then eventually when he saw him, when he met him, it was definitely after Yusuf alayhi salam was past the age of 40, because prophets are given prophethood at the age of 40. And Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet in the prison, right? And so definitely he spent decades away from his father. So Yaqub alayhi salam's trial was really long, but what was his response? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, that patience, beautiful patience is what I'm going to observe. And he did observe beautiful patience. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, that you should know that victory is with patience. The help of Allah comes with patience. You have to wait out the storm. You have to endure until relief comes, right? And when you look back and you see that, oh, it's been 2 years, it's been 1 year, it's been 3 years, it's been 10 years, even then, it just means that your duration of sabr is long. And you know what? The longer your sabr is, the greater the reward is, right? As in the Quran, we learn that the reward of patience is بغير حساب, right? It is without any measure. It is unlimited. So, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ, be patient for the help of Allah. Now, being patient does not mean that you do nothing. No, you have to do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled you to do, whatever resources and opportunities that He has provided you, you must use them. But the ultimate relief, until that comes, you must be patient. We learn in another hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the dua of the oppressed, the prayer of the oppressed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds that by my honor and by my glory, I will help you. Meaning the oppressed, even if it is after some time. وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ, meaning the help of Allah will come to the one who is oppressed, even if it is after some time. How long? That duration is known only to Allah. He will provide aid. He will give success. He will help his slave. And what is the responsibility of the slave? To be patient, to remain hopeful, to not give up, to keep striving, to keep calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to believe that the help of Allah is coming. As we learn in the Quran, that ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb, unquestionably the nasr, the help of Allah is near, it is coming. And you know what, when a person is in the midst of of the trial, it seems as though that trial is never going to end, right? It seems like there could be nothing worse, right? Or nothing more difficult, or that it's been going on forever. But then we see, for example, in history, even there are people who commit great oppression, and then what happens? Their time comes to an end, right? So likewise, the people who are on the other side, meaning those who are being oppressed, the victims, for them also is a closure, right? For them also is a time when their ordeal finally comes to an end. So be patient for the help of Allah. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, this means that we should help the cause of Allah to get help from him, right? Helping the cause of Allah, what does that mean? Helping the religion of Allah, right? If we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help with regard to, you know, ourselves, there might be, you know, certain habits that you have and you really dislike them, right? You may have, you know, certain problems in your life, in your personal life, perhaps with your family, perhaps in your work, perhaps with regard to your financial condition, whatever it may be, anything that you're struggling with. Remember that one of the ways to receive the help of Allah is to channel our efforts into helping the religion of Allah. Help the religion of Allah, help the cause of Allah, not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need of your help. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need help. This is just an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. So that when we help the religion of Allah, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on such people, then because of that, we will receive the help of Allah in other matters of our lives also. This doesn't mean that we should help the cause of Allah so that, you know, we can get married, so that we can have children, so that we can become rich, and so that all our problems will go away. That should not be the reason. The reason should be for the pleasure of Allah. But realize that those who help the cause of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them success. In Surah Muhammad, ayah number 7, we learn, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurkum. O you who believe, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. You help the cause of Allah, Allah will help you. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. Allah will definitely, indeed, He will surely help those or the one who helps him. The person who helps Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help him. In Surah Al-Rum, ayah number 6, we learn, وَعْدَ اللَّهُ. This is the promise of Allah, that the believers will be given help. لا يخلف الله وعده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go against His promise. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. But most of the people do not know. So if we want the help of Allah, we must help the cause of Allah. And really think about yourself. That what is it that I can do to contribute to the religion of Allah? Can it be by my by the monetary help that I can give? You know, for example, if you sign up for a monthly donation even, right? That every month you give $5, $2, $10, whatever tawfiq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. But you make a point that every month there is a certain amount of money that you are giving for, in order to support religious causes. It could be your local masjid, right? It could be, an Islamic institute that is focused on, teaching knowledge of Islam to people, right? It could be for publications. It could be, for the distribution of free copies of Quran. Whatever cause that you can support. You see, one is charitable causes, right? Where you are helping people, with their worldly needs. So it could be with regard to food, clean water, winter gear, etc. And that is excellent. And that is something that we must contribute in. But at the same time, we should also give a portion of our wealth in the cause of Allah, fi sabilillah. And this is a way of supporting the religion of Allah. That is one way. Another way of, supporting the religion of Allah is to volunteer your services, right? Your expertise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to, for example, make a website, right? To do technical work, things like that. And your local mosque, for example, is in need of, someone to fix their website, to manage their Facebook page, for example, to make, nice flyers for them, etc. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that skill. Use that skill to serve the religion of Allah, right? We use these skills for what? For self-promotion, right? Or for the purpose of, making money. And okay, for making money, that's fine, halal income, right? But think about it, the abilities, the strengths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, are you using that to serve Allah? Are you using that to help the religion of Allah? So when you help the religion of Allah, the cause of Allah, remember that you will also receive the help of Allah, An-Nasir. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is An-Nasir, this means that we should praise and glorify Allah when we accomplish something. Meaning when we are victorious, when we are successful, whether it is, small victories or a major accomplishment, whatever it may be, when we receive, the help of Allah, we should thank and glorify Allah. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is told. And the same message is for us, where Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, that when the help of Allah comes and the conquest also, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدُخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Do two things, glorify Allah and seek forgiveness from Him. Glorify Him in order to thank Him and seek forgiveness from Him for any shortcomings on your part. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, this also means that we should offer help to others when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain abilities, we should use them to help help His slaves. We learned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Unsur akhaka," help your brother, right? Whether he is zalim or he is the oppressor or he is the oppressed. Now, how is it that you help the oppressor? The companions asked, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that you prevent him, you stop him from committing oppression. That is a way of helping him. And then helping the oppressed, that is of course well known. In another hadith, we learn that whoever removes a difficulty from the difficulties of the world from a Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a difficulty from him on the day of judgment. And you help others, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an-nasir, how is it that we should call upon him? Because فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, call upon Allah by His beautiful names. The way that we can make dua with this name is, first of all, when we look at some du'as in the Quran, we see clearly being mentioned وَانْصُرْنَا, that O Allah, help us, right? وَانْصُرْنَا, this is from نَصَرَ, and نَصِير is from the same root. So, for example, in Surah Ali Imran, we learn the dua that رَبَّنَا غْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. That when you have a great challenge before you, right? When you're feeling weakness within you or in your circumstances, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. How? That first of all, you ask Allah for forgiveness. That, oh Allah, our Lord, forgive us for our sins and our excess in our matters, and plant firmly our feet, meaning make us steadfast, and وَانْصُرْنَا, and help us against the people who disbelieve, meaning you help us against our enemy. We learn about another dua which is in the Sunnah. We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari," that O Allah, let my hearing and sight be sound. "Waj'alhum al-warithain minni," and there's similar versions of this dua, and make my hearing and my vision remain sound until I die. "Wansurni 'ala man zalamani," and Ya Allah, help me against the person who oppresses me. وَأَرِنِي مِنْهُ ثَأْرِي, and give me revenge against him. This is a dua that we can make when we have been treated unfairly, right? When we have been clearly wronged, when we are feeling defeated, when we feel that people have taken advantage of us, right? They have harmed us. And you see, there are those situations where not that you should be afraid of seeking help from people, or at least informing them of the oppression, the injustice that has been committed against you. But there are certain times where you don't feel like you can even tell anybody. You feel extremely vulnerable, extremely afraid. But remember that even if there is no human being to believe you, no human being to come and help you. It doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there and His help is sufficient. So ask Allah, وَانْصُرْنِي عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَنِي, that, oh Allah, help me against the one who has oppressed me. We learn about another dua in which we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, اللهم أعني ولا تعن علي وانصرني ولا تنصر علي. And there's different versions of this, the one that you have on the screen, رَبِّ أَعِنِّي وَلَا تُعِنْ عَلَيَّ, that, oh my Lord, help me and do not help anybody against me. وَانْصُرْنِي وَلَا تَنْصُرْ عَلَيَّ, Ya Allah, assist me, aid me, and do not aid anyone against me. And He always make me on your side, not that your help is coming against me, because if that is the case, I will never be successful. Now, inshallah, we will move on to the next name for today, which is the name Al-Fattah. Now, the name of Allah, Al-Fattah, this name occurs only once in the Quran. And at another place, we see, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ, you are the best of those who do fatih, Al-Fatihin. That is mentioned. But Al-Fattah occurs only once. We learn in the Quran, قُلْ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَنَا رَبُّنَا ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَهُوَ الْفَتَّاحُ الْعَلِيمُ, and He is truly Al-Fattah Al-Alim, the knowing. Now, what is the meaning of the name Al-Fattah? First of all, linguistically, when we look at the word Fattah, Fattah is derived from Fath. Fath is, first of all, to open. It means to open or unlock what was closed or locked. So for example, from the same root is the word miftah. Miftah is a key because you use that tool in order to open, in order to unlock what was locked, right? So fath is faraj, meaning to open, right? To unlock. It's the opposite of ighlaq. Secondly, the word fath also means to explain what was unclear, to make clear what was confusing. So, فتح المشكل, something that was confusing, فتح, he explained it, right? He made it clear. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that, أُعْطِيتُ مَفَاتِحَ الْكَلِمِ, I was given مفاتح الكلم. And one of the meanings of that is that I was given words that are very clear. And we see that in the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, such short statements, but so powerful, so meaningful, so comprehensive, so eloquent, so far-reaching. And he was given مفاتيح الكلم, words that were very clear in their meaning, and words that clarify also, meaning they clarify matters of religion from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's so much meaning, so many rulings that we can derive. So this is a second implication or connotation of the word fath, to explain and make clear what was confusing. Thirdly, fath also means to aid against an enemy. So it gives a meaning of nasr. So fataha, meaning he aided him against his enemy or made him victorious. So from the same root, fath is used for conquest, right? And then finally, fath also means to judge, right? To judge between people who are disputing, people who are not in agreement. So fath is to make a judgment. Why is this called fath? Because when a judgment like that is made, then the matter is become clear, right? And when something is opened up, it's unraveled, right? All whatever was confusing has now become very clear. So, Fattah, who is Fattah? Now, the word Fattah, it has mubalagha, hyperbole, meaning Fattah is the one who greatly opens, who opens what is closed again and again, and who opens and unlocks what was very strongly closed, right? Meaning what seemed impossible, but Al-Fattah is able to open that also. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, what does that mean? First of all, it means that Allah is the opener, meaning He is the one who opens, who unlocks what is closed. He is the one who opens and unlocks the gates of his mercy. He is the one who unlocks the gates of his sustenance for his slaves, barakat, blessings, khairat, all good things come from him. And he is the one who opens up the gates of his mercy, his blessings in the world for his slaves and also in the hereafter. And he is the one who opens up the doors of his goodness for his slaves, and these could be in matters of religion, and this could also be in the matters of their worldly affairs. So in Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah number 7, we learn وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that to Allah belongs the treasuries of the skies and the earth. So the keys to the treasuries, the storehouses of the heavens and the earth, all of the resources, they belong to who? They belong to Allah. So he is the one who opens them up, by his wisdom for who he wants and when he wants. And no one can prevent him. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah 12, we learn, لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to him belong the keys of the skies and the earth. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ, he is the one who expands provision for whom he wants, and he is the one who also constricts it, meaning it is completely up to Allah. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he unlocks something, when he opens something up for a slave, then no one can close that. No one can prevent that from reaching that slave. And when he decides to close something, then no one can open that matter. So in Surah Fatir, ayah 2, we learn, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaftah, whatever he opens of his mercy for people, then no one can withhold it. So for example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to send down rain from the sky, who could block that rain from falling? People, we cannot. فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا, there is no one at all who can withhold it. And at the same time, وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds, whatever he decides to not give, to not open, then no one can release that after him. This is why we learn in Surah Mulk that قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, have you considered that if your water went sunken, meaning deep into the earth, then فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, who could bring you flowing water? So if you have anything, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it, and no one can withhold that from you. And then remember that Allah, when he is the one who opens, this means that he is the one who opens the gates of the sky also. And we learn about this, for example, in a hadith that when a person makes wudu and he says, La ilaha illallah, right? In a hadith we learned that when a person says La ilaha illallah sincerely with his heart, then the gates of the sky are opened up, right? Meaning this statement is welcomed, it is received, it is honored because of the sincerity of that slave. We also learned that the gates of the sky are open for the souls of the righteous, meaning when a person dies and their soul is taken by the angels, if that person was righteous, then that soul is, it is taken up. The gates of the sky are open. And we also learned that people who perform their obligations, then the gates of the sky are also open for them. Then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also opens the gate of forgiveness, meaning he welcomes, he receives the seeking of forgiveness from his slaves, and he forgives them. So we learn in a hadith that تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ كُلَّ يَوْمِ اثْنَيْنِ وَخَمِيسٍ, that the gates of the sky are opened every Monday and Thursday, right? And as a result of that, every person, every slave who does not associate any partner with Allah is forgiven, except for the two people who had some kind of, a fight because of which they're not talking to one another. So it is said, defer their matter until yastaliha, until they fix, their relationship. And there is also a gate of repentance, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will open, yani He will enable the opening of the gates of paradise also. Meaning when the gates of paradise are open, only then the inhabitants of paradise will be able to enter paradise. So we learned that when the people of taqwa will be brought to paradise, إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا, its doors will have been opened from before. Right, جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ مُفَتَّحَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابُ, the gates of paradise will be opened up for them. But we learn that for some people, the gates of the sky are not open, meaning the souls of the people who are arrogant, the people who disbelieve. When they die, their souls, when they're taken up, the gates of the sky are not opened. لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. In fact, on the day of judgment, it is the gates of hell that will be opened for them. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the first meaning of the name Al-Fattah, meaning the one who opens. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, it means that He is the one who clarifies, who discloses, who explains, matters which are complicated or matters that are unknown. So for example, in the Quran, we learn about, the people of the book, that they would condemn each other, that أَتُحَدِّثُونَهُمْ بِمَا فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Do you inform them about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed to you? Meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up for you, which is the identity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning you know that he is truly the prophet that we have been waiting for, but we're not going to believe him because he is not of us. So why are you telling other people about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disclosed to you? So the matter was, complicated for them or unclear to them, but what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did make it clear to them. Multiple times, the people of the book came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and questioned him, right, with different kinds of questions. And every time that there was a challenge that they posed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to answer them, right? And so over and over again, the truth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was clarified to them. But think about how blind such eyes would be and how sealed such hearts would be, that a matter is disclosed to them, it is opened up to them, it is made clear to them, yet they choose to deny. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So remember that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who opens up, meaning He clarifies matters which are unknown or which are hidden, which are complicated. So this means that He is the giver of knowledge. He is the source of knowledge. And He is the source of understanding. Right? And then this also means that He's the one who opens the hearts and eyes of the believers so they're able to see the truth. Right? They're able to accept it. And they're able to do what is good. Right? He is the one who gives them clarity, awareness, and that willingness to do good. He opens up their eyes and hearts so they're able to embrace the truth. And they're the ones who benefit from the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. We learn in a hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for a slave, he sweetens him. So the companions asked, what does that mean? Right? And the verb that is used, it means that he makes him like honey, right? He sweetens him. So the companions asked, what does that mean? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ لَهُ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا قَبْلَ مَوْتِي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up for him the opportunity to do good before he dies. Meaning that slave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended good for, then that person is able to see opportunities of khair and they're able to benefit from them, right? So who gave this person that clarity, that knowledge, that awareness, that realization that this is a good thing to do, so I should do it? And then sometimes we know what is good, but and we're also trying to do it, but we're just struggling. It feels as though we're just, hitting ourselves against a wall, like we're not going anywhere. So who enables? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives tawfiq. So Al-Fattah, meaning the one who clarifies, the one who opens up the way for a slave. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-fattah, number three, this means that he is the one who prevails. Because remember, fath also means victory. So he is the one who prevails. He is the one who gives victory. He aids his slaves. So we learn the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressed in the Quran in Surah Al-Fath that inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Indeed, we have given you a clear victory. So that clear victory came from who? From Allah al-Fattah. Right? We learned that Nuh alayhi salam called upon Allah in Surah Al-Qamar. We learn fafatahna abwaba as-sama'i bima'in munhamir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the gates of the sky with water that was flowing continuously, right? And this was for what purpose? This was to help give victory to who? To his slave Nuh alayhi salam. And then finally, al-fattah also means the judge, meaning the one who decides between the slaves. So whether it is some dispute that people have in the world, or it is a dispute that is not resolved in this life, then remember, Allah al-Fattah is the one who will judge between his slaves on the Day of Judgment, and he will judge with complete justice. And this is what we learn in Surah Saba, ayah 26, that قُلْ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَنَا رَبُّنَا, say that our Lord will gather us together, ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ بَيْنَنَا, and then he will judge between us, بِالْحَقْ, with truth, وَهُوَ الْفَتَّاحُ الْعَلِيمُ, and he is الْفَتَّاحُ الْعَلِيمُ. So الْفَتَّاح means he is the supreme judge. And الْعَلِيمُ, the knowing, the one who knows. And you see the combination of these names over here, Al-Fattah, Al-Alim. There are many judges that are appointed in the world, but the kind of rulings they issue are completely wrong, right? They're completely unfair. And the reason is that they don't have complete knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, and he is Al-Alim. And this is why, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ, you are the best of those who judge, because he does not judge with unfairness. Rather, he judges with absolute justice and complete and perfect knowledge. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, what is our responsibility? What are we supposed to do? This means that first of all, we should believe that all openings are from him. Meaning if any matter is closed, it is only opened, it can only be opened by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, it could be the matter of your career, it could be the matter of your education, it could be the matter of your family, your future. So remember, any path that you want to be opened, it can only be opened by Al-Fattah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens a matter for a slave, then yes, it is a mercy, but it can also be a trial. It is a mercy in the sense that the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, the rizq that he gives, yes, it is a mercy, but at the same time, it is a trial. It's a test. So we learn, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 52, that فَعَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِالْفَتْحِ أَوْ أَمْرٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ, that Allah will bring fath, he will bring victory, right, or a matter from himself. In Surah Al-Sajdah, ayah 28, we learn وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْحُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, they say, when will this victory be, when will this fath be, if you were truthful? So قُلْ يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيمَانُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ, that victory is coming, but on that day, those who disbelieve, if they believe, that is not going to help them, they're not going to be given another chance. So victory, help, success, it comes from who? It comes from Allah. And it could come as a mercy, it could also come as a trial. And remember that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who opens the gates of sustenance, all matters are in his hand, then our ultimate concern should be to please him. And this is why we should also rely upon him in all of our matters. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 96, we learn, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and if the people of the towns had believed and they feared Allah, we would have opened for them the blessings of the sky and the earth. However, ولكن كذبوا, but they denied, فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. So we seized them, meaning with punishment because of what they were earning. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-fattah, this means that we should benefit from, from the fact that, he opens the gates of the sky, he opens the gate of forgiveness, and he opens the gate of repentance. Meaning, we should send up, good deeds and good words, and we should make dua. Like we learn in the hadith that in the last third of the night, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest sky, ثُمَّ تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ, then the gates of the sky are opened up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to call upon Him. So that is the prime time, to do something good. Recite some Qur'an, make some dhikr. Even if you're laying in bed, at least make some dhikr, right? Make some dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. Make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah. Make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, right? Give some charity. And these days, alhamdulillah, you can simply give charity. You can easily give charity from your phone. You don't even have to get out of bed. Allahu Akbar. So we should take advantage of this. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-fattah, this means that we should be careful when the gates of sustenance are opened. I mentioned this earlier as well, that when an opportunity is open for you, then remember, this is a blessing, but it can also be a trial. So be careful. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, what I truly fear for you after me is that يُفْتَحُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَرَكَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, the blessings of the world are going to be opened up for you. Meaning the riches of the world are going to start flowing towards you, and you're going to become distracted because of them. You're going to start to compete in regard to them, and you're going to neglect your duty to Allah because of them. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 44, we learn, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that when they forgot what they were reminded of, then as a consequence, as a punishment, we opened up the gates of everything for them. Meaning we filled their lives with the riches of the world. Until إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, when they were so happy with all that they had been given, they were enjoying their life, having fun, having a great time, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَ, we seized them suddenly, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ, and then they fell in despair. So we must be careful. Just because we have an abundance of blessings, everything we try to do is opened up for us, we find no obstacles, or something wrong, something sinful has been opened up for us, it has been made easy for us, it doesn't mean that it's okay for us to do that. We must be very, very careful. And then we should also be a key to goodness. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-fattah, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses some people to be a key to goodness. There is a hadith which is reported in Ibn Majah, and Shaykh Albani has declared it as hasan. In that hadith, we learn that this goodness, meaning this religion, contains many treasures. And for those treasures, there are keys, meaning to unlock those treasures, you need keys. So good news to the person whom Allah makes a key to goodness and a lock for evil. Allahu Akbar. And there's some people who becomes a means of accessing a lot of good, right? Meaning they become a means for other people. They unlock goodness for other people. Because of them, people are able to benefit so much. So we should check ourselves that what is it that we are bringing to humanity or to our community or just, the people at home? Are we a source of goodness for them or are we a source of trouble for them? And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-fattah, this means that we should seek entry into paradise from all of its gates. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open all of those gates for you, but the question is that are we worthy of that? Right, we learn about how there's a gate for the people who fast, right? There is a gate for people who give sadaqah, there's a gate for ahlul jihad, for the people who strive in the way of Allah, right? And Abu Bakr and so on and so forth, and there's a gate of salah. Right, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked that, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone who will be invited into paradise from all of those gates? And The Prophet said yes, and I hope that you will be one of them. So we should strive to perfect our Islam. We should strive to do good to the best of our ability so that all of the gates of paradise are opened up for us. And then at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, then we should avoid the gates of evil. Meaning we should refrain from those things which lead to evil. In a hadith, we learned that do not drink wine, do not drink alcohol, because it is the key to every evil. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah, this means that we should also seek clarity from Him. Any matter that is, difficult, unclear to us, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clarify that for us, to open up our heart, to open up our mind, to open up our eyes. We learn, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, right? The person whose chest Allah opens up to Islam. So that is what we want. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, open up my chest for me. And one of the ways in which we can open up our hearts is by reflecting upon the Quran. In Surah Muhammad, ayah 24, we learn, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will they not reflect upon the Quran? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are there locks upon their hearts? If a person does not reflect upon the Quran, this means that their heart is locked. So Allah is Al-Fattah. He has legislated ways for opening your heart, opening the pathways before you. But we have to use those means, right? We have to reflect upon the Quran. For example, Surah Al-Fatiha, right? Al-Fatiha is what literally means the opening, because with Surah Al-Fatiha, we open the Quran, right? We begin the Quran. But Surah Al-Fatiha is not just, words that are supposed to be recited. Surah Al-Fatiha is a healing, right? It's a source of shifa, meaning when you recite it, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. Surah Al-Fatiha, it's a gift that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's described as a light. And imagine if the opening of the Quran is so blessed, then what do you expect is in the rest of the Quran? It is filled with goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah. He has given us different means in order to open the paths of goodness for us. So we must employ those means. We must use those means. And part of that is to learn the Quran, right? Part of that is to recite the Quran. Part of that is to reflect upon the Quran. And I want to share with you again, I mentioned this in one of the earlier classes as well, that inshallah in January, Al-Huda Institute in Canada is beginning a new program, Ta'lim al-Quran. And in this course, it's an 18-month long course. It is for women, by women. And in this course, alhamdulillah, students cover the tafsir of the entire Quran. They get to recite the entire Quran. It is all focused on the Quran. So I encourage you, join this program. If you know, of people around you, your sisters, your cousins, your friends, encourage them to learn the Quran. One of the scholars said that connect with the Quran and you will find barakah. You will find blessing. You will find goodness. There is no way that you spend time with the Quran and you don't receive some kind of goodness from it or through it. You certainly will. So the questions that we have, the confusions that we have, the doubts that we have, the things that are unclear to us, right? All of those matters become clear through the Quran. And then the obstacles that we have in our lives, the hurdles that we face in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah. Inshallah, through the blessing of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up ways of goodness for you. So connect with the Quran, share this information with your friends and family so that more and more people will benefit, inshallah. Finally, the last section, dua, how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this blessed name, Al-Fattah. First of all, when there is a dispute that you have with someone, and it happens, there are financial matters, family matters over which people have disputes, and there is nothing, there is no result that is coming about, the results are disputed, Right? So in that case, what do you need? You need that judgment from Allah. That, Ya Allah, make that judgment between us. And Ya Allah, bring clarity. So in Surah Al-Shu'ara, we learn about the dua of, sorry, in Surah Al-A'raf, we learn, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. That, oh, our Lord, judge between us and our people with truth, and you are the best of those who judge. And in Surah Al-Shu'ara, ayah 117 and 118, we learn, فَافْتَحْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ فَتْحًا وَنَجِّنِي وَمَنْ مَعِيَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That, Ya Rabb, judge between me and them, meaning my opponents, with a judgment, meaning that is final, that is perfect, and save me and those who are with me of those who believe. And then, you see, sometimes there are matters where there's no easy answers. There are no easy answers. Or the matter is just so unique. It is so different that really there's no simple answer. So in that case, again, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for clarification. We learn about an incident where, a man, he had a certain family issue. Where he saw his wife doing something, basically he saw his wife committing zina. Now, what was he supposed to do if he did not have four witnesses? So if he said something, then he would be punished. And at the same time, how was he to live with, his wife who had committed zina? And he saw that with his own eyes. And how was he supposed to live with that? So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was silent, right? Because nothing had been revealed regarding that. And the man said, "Allahumma iftah, oh Allah, iftah, oh Allah, open up the matter for us. Give clarity, right? Make judgment regarding this matter. Allahumma iftah." And he began making dua. This is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. وَجَعْلَ يَدْعُ. He kept making dua. فَنَزَلَتْ آيَةُ الْلِعَانِ. And then the verses of Li'an were revealed, and which are in Surah An-Nur, meaning an entire legal law was given regarding that matter. Now, of course, for your matters, there's no revelation that's going to come down. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to create means for you. So ask Allah, Allahumma iftah, oh Allah, open up the matter, oh Allah, judge, oh Allah, provide clarity. And then finally, we learn about this beautiful dua, which many people are familiar with, that when we enter the masjid, then we should say, Allahumma ghafir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab rahmatik. That, oh Allah, forgive me my sins and open up the gates of your mercy for me. Another is, Allahumma ighfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab fadlik. That, oh Allah, forgive me my sins and open up the gates of your favor for me. So make this dua when entering the masjid, and otherwise also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up the gates of his mercy and his blessings for you. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. I'm sorry for taking extra time today. I really wanted to complete this name today. Inshallah, we will conclude. The information regarding the flyers or the Ta'lim al-Quran program, inshallah, will be shared with you here in the comments. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.